is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Leslie Karst. She was here a little while ago, and we were talking about this wonderful book she wrote called Justice is Served, A Tale of Scallops, the Law, and Cooking for RBG. That's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I love that book so much, and I was so happy to discover that she also writes the Sally Solari mysteries. And so she's back today, and we're going to talk about book number 6, A Sense for Murder. Aha! I love it. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Patsy. It's great to be back in Florida again.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you. Well, I have to tell my listeners, oh, please, please make sure you have some cannoli in the house. Don't read this book if there's no... Where's the cannoli? You need the cannoli.
Don't read the books hungry is my what I've been told.
Oh, you can't. Oh, it's terrible because you're in a real dilemma. Now, you're reading the book, and the description of the food is so good. And as I was down by the pool, and I can't get up and get dressed and go somewhere and get some of this stuff. So I just have to get fat reading the book. Your description of food, I mean, obviously, you are someone who loves food.
That's true. Yes, I cannot deny it.
And it comes through. So this is book number 6. Wow, It's really great. And I will say, now, of course, I want to tell all my listeners that you are a retired lawyer.
Correct.
And it seems to me that where do lawyers go when they retire? They all go to the computer and start writing novels.
So, I believe that must be true, because there are an awful lot of us. For me, it made a little more sense, because I was actually a research and appellate attorney, so I actually wrote legal briefs. And so then when I retired from the law, I wanted to keep writing. But I tell you what, guess which was more fun to write? More fun to kill people on paper and write about the food that they eat.
Yeah, I think so. So this one, of course, it is, I never know how much to give away, but I will say one thing, that I am of the mind, I believe in the death penalty for anybody who steals a book. Because I have no sympathy for people who steal books. When you have a book, it is something that nobody should ever take away from you. So it might come up in this book. I don't know how much we want to tell, but why don't you sort of lay the premise for this book?
I think it's okay to give that away, because it happens pretty early on. There's my protagonist, Sally Solari, ends up offering to cook at a benefit farm-to-table dinner in Santa Cruz, California, where the books are set. And it's a benefit, and one of the items that's up for auction is a signed copy of Mastering the Art of French Cooking by Julia Child. And I put that in there just because I love Julia Child so much, I wanted to put her in the book.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the inciting incidents is when somebody is murdered at the dinner, and the books, signed books, that the box set are stolen. So, you know, you wonder, you know.
Yeah, who would do that?
What have in common? So.
Diabolical person would do that. A terrible, really terrible human
being. Are they
even
related or not? You know, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I was after that person right away. I'm going to get those books back. And that's what Sally does. What's so wonderful about this series, it's like when you start reading it and Sally is so good, her father's so good, and you start feeling like you're right there, you're with them, and it's just wonderful reading.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And it's the first one you read of the series, right?
Yes, it was the first one I read of the series, and then I had to go back.
Well, that's good to know then, because, you know, people ask, do you have to read them in order? And I always say, no, you don't have to read them in order. I make it so you don't have to. If you want to, it's great. But I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it, even though you read them out of order. So, hey, you can, listeners out there, you can dip in anywhere.
Oh, yeah, you can start, and you can go back, and because once you read one, you'll want to read the rest, because I had so much fun. I love Death al fresco.
Oh, good.
And you must have so much fun thinking up new names for them.
I do. Coming up for the names for the books are very fun, because each one I want to have, it has to have something about food in it, but also murder. And so, yeah, it's good fun.
tell us a little bit about Sally and her restaurant, which, you know, unfortunately, I live in such a beautiful area, but we are not a food area. We don't have, like in Toronto, where you have, you know, so many restaurants that you can go to, or obviously in the West Coast, there are so many places. And we actually are an ideal place. We should have Restaurant Row, but we don't really.
Yeah. Interesting. You must have a lot of cooks then.
I don't know. Maybe, because even in Detroit, we have wonderful streets of restaurants. So it's really difficult to find. And this one, the idea of with a Polynesian flair, I like that.
Yeah, so the restaurant that Sally's family, she grew up in her family restaurant called Solari's, which is an Italian seafood restaurant out on the municipal fishing wharf in Santa Cruz. But then in the book one, chapter one, her aunt owns this restaurant called Gauguin, which is named after the French painter who moved to Polynesia. And it's a more upscale, trendy French Polynesian place that she ends up inheriting. And then so throughout the six books, there's sort of a dynamic between her father and her, because it's sort of setting apart the old school Italian fishermen that had emigrated to Santa Cruz back in the 1880s and through the 1910s. And she's a fourth generation Italian. And then the new hipster foodies that have moved in Santa Cruz in the last few decades. And it's based on reality, and there's this dynamic between the old and the new. And her father starts thinking, you know, you think you're better than us now, you know, and they love each other, but that's sort of the setup. And so Gauguin is a French Polynesian restaurant, and it's really fun coming up with the recipes and the menu items for both the Italian seafood place and the modern place. It lets me spread my wings.
Well, luckily you put some recipes at the back, so people can, if they don't have a restaurant near them, they can get out there into the kitchen.
Right.
which is also a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's great. I love the recipes in the back. I haven't been up to cooking lately, and I'm sort of trying to find restaurants. I don't really have a place here that has great cannolis, which is funny.
Yeah.
You would think that we
would. And they're hard to make.
Yeah. You have to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you make
them? Yeah, a good one. No, I'm not much of a baker. I it's too, for baking, you have to, it's like, they're like, they call them formulae. They don't even call them recipes, the real bakers. You have to, they're exacting. You have to measure and weigh things and cook at exact times. And I'm a seat-of-the-pants cook that throws things in and tastes it and adds a little more of this and that. And so it's not my, I mean, I can bake. When I did go to cooking school, and I had to learn to do it, but it's not my favorite thing. So, no, never made cannolis. But I sure like to eat.
Oh, that's for sure. And you make them sound so good, mouth-watering. So I'm in search of, lately I've been looking for, I decided that, I think during the pandemic partly, I was really going back to basics since we couldn't go out anywhere. I did actually do quite a bit of baking because I wanted real fresh stuff.
Right.
And it's such a difference. I mean, really, now I couldn't eat processed bakery or processed bread for anything. I just couldn't do it.
It's true, boy. If you don't have actually a really good bakery near you, and if you're just buying supermarket bread, the difference between a freshly baked baguette or sourdough loaf is, many people did. I have a lot of friends who started baking sourdough loaves during the pandemic and still do. And good to have them as friends, because sometimes they drop it by your house.
Yeah. that's what all my friends say. Oh, what are you baking? I do specialize in biscotti, by the way. I love biscotti.
Yum.
And I make the best biscotti. There's something about biscotti, and people go crazy for my biscotti. So it's really so few ingredients. And I think and that's one of the things, when people are reading about food that you talk about, it is really so true. So much of it is really simple, just good ingredients. And I like the idea of this farm-to-table organization.
In Santa Cruz, where the books are set, is the town of Santa Cruz is, you know, there aren't farms right in town, but all around it are north between Santa Cruz and San Francisco. You drive up Highway 1, you go through Brussels sprout and strawberry farms and berry farms, and then south of the community is the Salinas Valley, which is breadbasket of California. And so we are blessed with so much amazing food, fresh food, vegetables, and wine, and farmstead cheeses, and pastured pigs, and yeah, I'm very lucky to live where I do, as is my character, Sally. She appreciates it.
So, now, of course, in this book also you added sort of the, well, I like the idea of the teenagers learning to cook and learning to share their food.
Right, yeah, the benefit is to benefit this organization called Teens Table, which I made up, but there are organizations like that in Santa Cruz where the kids are come into an industrial kitchen and they cook, they learn to cook, so that's that skill, but then the food is donated to worthy organizations like the senior center or the homeless projects and things, and so that's the benefit that Sally's cooking for. That a couple of them do exist here in Santa Cruz, so I think it's not, you should need to start one.
Yeah, you know, I'm really I think I've been inspired to do that because it would be fun. I would love it.
They would be. It'd be terrific.
So you have so much fun writing about the food. Isn't it wonderful when you find this joy that I talk about, the joy of writing, that it just makes your life so full?
No, it is true. And having been done different styles of writing, to get to write these novels now, which are not that different, you know, some people have asked me, you know, gosh, it must be so different from writing the legal briefs. And yes, of course it is, but it's a lot more fun. And you get to make things up. But there's a lot in common, too, because, you know, when you write a legal brief, you're trying to convince the judge to rule in your favor in whatever case is before the court, and you have a specific set of facts, right? And then you have to research the case law that backs up the facts. But how you put that together in your brief makes a big difference. How do you organize your facts? Which ones do you emphasize? You can't leave them out. That's not playing fair. Same thing with a mystery novel. You've got to put in red herrings and clues, but you got to play fair with the reader. You can't leave things out and bring them in at the last second. How do you organize it? How do you tell your story? How do you, convince the audience that this person did it when really there's this person and you hit a clue about them? And so they're actually, my brain worked well for both of those. It's an organizational thing. And in retrospect, it seems kind of like a natural progression to start writing murder mysteries after writing legal briefs.
That's it. You have to convince a judge to sort of follow along and get the right clues in her head. So when she makes the final decision, she's got all that in there, and it's just the same way with the reader. We reading along and while we're salivating over the recipes, we're picking up other clues here.
Exactly. Well, yes. While you're thinking about how hungry you are, I've slipped a really important clue in there that you might have missed.
Yeah. And now tell me, do you have a Thunderbird?
I do not have a T-Bird.
Oh.
I gave Sally a 57 T-Bird because I always wanted one. And they're a pain. Apparently, they break down a lot, and there are not many people that work on them, and I don't work on cars. And so I've been told, really, you shouldn't get one unless you either are or live with a mechanic. So I decided to give one to Sally instead. So I feel like I kind of have one.
Yeah.
I get to research them. But that's the fun thing about writing is you get to give your character all the things. You know, I made her tall and slender, and she can eat as much as she wants without getting fat. And I gave her all the things that I wish I had.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, she eats a lot. She tastes everything. And, yeah, she doesn't weigh 300 pounds because you couldn't fit into the Thunderbird.
Right, exactly.
And it's not actually a very comfortable car.
And I did have a car with bucket seats. I had a 63 Ford Falcon convertible back in the 90s, and I loved that car. But then the bucket seats, though, were fun when I was young. But, yes, getting in and out of them as you get older is probably not that fun.
Oh, no, it's not. It was terrible. It made a guy feel so bad. He had a Jaguar. And you get into a Jaguar and you're so low to the ground, it's terrifying because the 18 wheel is taller than the stupid Jaguar. And when I got out of the Jaguar and I climbed on, I was young and I climbed out of it, and it was so uncomfortable. I said, this is such an uncomfortable car. And he just, Everything is just
pissed. I know, people, no, it's true. A lot of those sports cars are like that. Yeah, you're so low and you can't see.
No.
I mean,
you can see.
Can't see to drive.
You can see underneath the 18-wheeler. I don't want to see the bottom side of the underwheeler. So, yeah, I hurt that guy's feelings. All of that money he invested in that to impress me didn't work.
Funny.
But it is fun, and that's one of the things. And of course, we have, of course, I love a little bit of Italian thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
So that always makes it a lot of fun.
Right. Yep. I did study Italian. People ask me if I'm Italian, and I'm actually not. I wish I were, but you know, I had my DNA done, and nope, no Italian, unfortunately. But she's Sally's fourth generation, and I did study the language. So there's not much, just a local Italian American thrown in there, and it's fun, and it really is based on Santa Cruz is full of it. You know, the Italian families are so influential, particularly about food around here, and I know tons of Italians, and so people tell me that it's an accurate rendition of the family.
Yeah, it reads well. It reads well, and I love your use of words. You use words that aren't used that often. I came across what was it, a word that put a smile on my face. Oh, skedaddle. I think it's great. It's a nice word. I enjoy
it. I believe that's my mom used to say that, skedaddle.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure where she got it.
I don't know. I think my mom must have too, because as I'm reading and I got to that, and I sort of, skedaddle. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah, it is a fun. It's one of those words that kind of sounds like what it is.
Exactly. So you're just having fun, and I'm really thrilled about the series, and I want people to make sure they go and get it. And this one is called A Sense for Murder. And thank you for the lovely bookmarks that you sent me.
You're very welcome. Yes, the bookmarks have recipes on them.
I was going to say that, yes. And the grilled peaches with plum sauce. Now, that is a great recipe.
Yep.
That is a really great
recipe. To all the listeners, if you go on my website, Leslie Karst, Karst, author.com, and you send me an email with your address, I will mail you some of those bookmarks with my recipes on them, if you like.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I will make sure I mention that to people, because that is wonderful. I love that. And the thing is, they're nice, solid bookmarks. They're heavyweight and really great.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using them in all the other... Well, I've been using them in the other books I'm reading, and I'm thinking, I need to start cooking. So you linger in the mind, which is nice.
That's good. As long as it's a good taste.
It is. And everybody, I want to tell you, this is a wonderful book. You can binge read it. It's still summertime. All the people seem to want to get over summertime. Like, they're already talking about the fall, but it's summertime.
I know.
It's hot. And this is a time to just... cool down.
I agree. Sit outside by the pool and read. And they're available both as e-books and as hard copy books.
Yeah, and it's just so much fun just to binge out and just have a good time, and then check out your local restaurants and find out who's got the best cannoli. Again, Leslie Karst, I think your writing is terrific. And anybody who's interested in Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they must get Justice is Served, because it's so filled with information about RBG, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and people will love it.
Okay, well, thanks. I appreciate the plug for that book, because that one's dear to my heart since it's a memoir.
Yeah,
I really did cook for her, and I'm stressed and obsessed about it, the dinner.
And as we're reading it, we're stressing too. We want it all to go well, and it did. And I'm sure it was just wonderful. I think famous people really appreciate when somebody does something very personal for them.
I agree. And you know, even me, I'm not famous by any means, but people know that I like to cook, and so people rarely cook for me. And it's like, hey, I love food. I'll eat anything. I'll eat just make me just a scrambled egg. I don't care. I think you're right. I think, and she did. Ruth did appreciate it. She had a good time.
Okay. Well, this is book number 6 in the Sally Solari mystery series. And it's called A Sense for Murder. It's available online and hopefully wherever books are sold. Visit Leslie's website and send her a message, and she'll send you these lovely bookmarks with a recipe. Thank you so much for joining me, Leslie. I'm sure you're working.
You
finished book 7 already?
No, I'm actually working on a new series that's coming out in spring that's set in Hawaii, where I live half time.
Oh, and I like that you write Hawaii with the apostrophe. I like that.
Well, yes, that's the way they do it there. So.
That's the proper way to do it. I love it. Okay, well, then I'll look forward to having you back in the springtime, okay?
That would be terrific. Thank you so much, Patsy, for having me on. I love talking to you. You're a blast.
And you're a joy. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.